points. The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
Federal judge ruled today in favor of CNN and Jim Acosta in a administrative hearing, in which this is not a final ruling, but at least he said that Acosta can return to work until a final ruling.
Journalists need to know that in this country, their First Amendment rights, freedom of the press, are sacred. They're protected in our Constitution. And, you know, throughout all of this, I was confident, and I felt that this would be the result at the end of the day, that our rights would be protected to continue to cover our government and hold our leaders accountable.
I'll tell you something. I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
Why?
That Jim Acosta came out and went to the rake and took questions, and he took for 4 minutes. One of the first rules of a reporter is don't become the news, right?
Right.
Now, he didn't become the news intentionally here, in essence. He was just doing his job as he sees how he does. It's a little grandstander. Everybody agrees with that.
Yeah,
even Mrs. Acosta agrees with that. But when he then goes to the rake and makes a comment, I think he would have been just well within his rights and within the decorum. I mean, you guys, you know, are big J journalists, so you can tell me.
I think you would be better served your right just to sort of say, hey, glad I'm going back to work and happy that's happening.
Have a spokesman, you know, right. Talk. He said, listen, I don't belong on this side of the microphones.
Right. Have a lawyer speak. But you know, one thing that made me very proud is that all news organizations, Fox included, even some very very right-leaning news organizations jumped in to support, filed an amicus brief on behalf of CNN to say this is the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, because it's coming for them eventually, too.
Yep.
Everybody's got to stand together on this. Now, here's the president talking to Fox News Channel about it.
Your reaction to the ruling?
It's fine. I mean, it's not a big deal. What they said, though, is that we have to create rules and regulations for conduct, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing that. We're going to write them up right now. It's not a big deal. And if he misbehaves, we'll throw him out, or we'll stop the news conference.
What are your rules going to be? What is it that you're saying?
They'll have, they're doing
this,
them now.
This is over the line, and you lose your president.
Yeah, they're doing them now. I mean, we'll have rules of decorum. You know, you can't keep asking questions.
Just can't ask questions.
But he's still long. You can call reporters stupid or racist? What are his rules? What are the rules for the president?
Oh, no, there aren't any rules for him.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is more about his due process, right? That he gets a due process to decide what the rules are, and then they see who follows them for the future.
Mm-hmm. But will the rules be constitutional?
We had a lot of reporters in that room, many, many reporters in that room, and they were unable to ask questions because this guy gets up and starts, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing for him and for CNN and, you know, just shouting out questions. And making statements, too. But I will say this. Look, nobody believes in the First Amendment more than I do. And if I think somebody's acting out of sorts, I will leave. I'll say, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate you coming, and I'll leave. And those reporters will not be too friendly to whoever it is that's acting up.
Be out of sorts.
Jeez.
Yeah, all right. Okay, tough guy. By the way, he acknowledged today, you know, he was talking about he apologized for not going to Belle Wood while he was in France, you know, the site of thousands of American soldiers and Marines losing their life. But he said, but I did have telephone calls to make. Yeah.
Okay. Not the right messaging.
No.
Number four.
The Clinton Affair. A brand new 6-hour documentary for A&E is going to start on Sunday. Monica Lewinsky talks about how she developed her crush on the president.
I didn't get it until the first time I was really in his presence. I was struck in a way that he had this ability to hold everybody who was there. Not just young women, not just older women, but young men, older men, gay, straight, everybody is sort of starry-eyed in his presence. I kind of have to laugh at my younger self, but that was when my crush started.
You know, you are damn right about that. I just look at him and I melt.
When the opportunity arose to attend a departure ceremony or some of the other events, I did. The first time, he sort of seemed on autopilot, so my crush kind of waned a bit. The second time, was different. He, you know, paid a lot of attention to me. He spent time sort of standing there and held my hand longer than he should have and gave what others have described as the full Bill Clinton. It feels as if you're the only person standing there.
That's a little Bill. Well, there's little Bill and big Bill.
I always got to give it that making a murderer music in the background.
Yeah, right. Everything deserves that treatment.
I'm just picturing Hillary. Bill, it's time for Storage Wars. Oh, what is this on Annie tonight?
She seems like she's had a lot of deep reflection, though. I mean, you know, being the way she was sort of thrust into the limelight and then, boom, kind of harpooned. And then now she's just...
I like the way you put all that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
All right.
It's very graphic, too, which I'm sure he will also like.
Yeah, great. Just great. She thought that was crab salad or something. Did she say? What did she say?
Spinach dip.
Spinach dip, right.
She went out for dinner after, and she thought that there was spinach dip on
her dress.
But that wasn't served, as you can imagine, at the dinner.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh. No. Yeah. Okay. We'll get you a three or two and your one.
I know. I brought that up.
But, and the president comes back. Just in case you thought you were rid of him. No, he comes back in the three, the two, and the one. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A winner has finally been declared in the Georgia governor's race, but the fight may not be over.
Right. And then there's this one more thing here. Mm-hmm. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Top five continues.
Number three.
So the president today, he was doing the Medal of Freedom. This is for civilians. It's a high honor from the president, the highest honor the president can bestow on a civilian, for their contribution to American culture, arts, business, society. And Alan Page, the great NFL player, received it. He was not only a great NFL player, College Hall of Famer, Pro Hall of Famer, longtime Minnesota Viking, one-time Chicago Bear, Notre Dame grad, right?
Yeah, played on the championship team of 66.
Went on to become a lawyer and a judge, sat on the Minnesota Supreme Court. An amazing guy. That's a guy who is well-deserving.
Absolutely.
He also inducted Elvis Presley, who, it's interesting, had never previously received this honor. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And then on the other side, Sheldon Adelson's wife.
Right.
Who is...
GOP mega donor.
Right. the casino magnate's third wife.
Great hair.
I think that's pretty great.
Mm. Great hair.
Yeah, there's that. And Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth, junior. He was a junior. I can imagine what his father was like. He must have been tough. Lived from 1895 to 1948, learning the game of baseball from Catholic brothers at his orphanage. At the age of 19, he was signed by the Boston Red Sox as a pitcher and soon became one of the best pitchers in baseball. People don't know that. Babe Ruth was one of the best pitchers. He still has records today.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone who knows about Babe Ruth knows he was a pitcher. That's the whole point of Babe Ruth.
And the whole thing about his dad, then he follows up the orphanage thing, because I think the dad was out of the picture when Babe was a babe.
When he was seven.
So I was like, he must have been a tough kid. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, a little too tough, maybe.
Well, there was a projection going on there. Yeah. He's trying to be I had a tough dad, you had a tough dad.
Yeah, right. Where's Babe? Is he here? Stand up, Babe.
Which one is he?
Okay, we get it. Also, Roger Staubach got in today too. It's right out of like 12-year-old Donald Trump's imagination.
Oh, heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's got posters of him pinned on the wall. Finally,
Roger Staubach, Navy guy. Again, great football player.
Absolutely,
but, just interesting. Except for the although I don't think he had a Sheldon Adelson wife poster in his room when he was a kid. That's the only one I don't quite understand. All right, checking in at
number two.
Michelle Obama uttered every word that she uttered and every action she took received advanced scrutiny for signs of potential damage to her husband's presidency. At least that's what she writes in her book. Jimmy Kimmel ended his interview with her last night, having her read off a list of things she could not say as First Lady.
I've never eaten a vegetable. The whole 8 years we were in the White House, we used Laura Bush's Netflix password. I'm not sure which one's Sasha and which one's Malia. I stole the phrase, when they go low, we go high, from the back of a Snapple cap. Barry, be quiet and hold my purse.
And your final outrageous statement to make now that you're no longer First Lady.
Clooney is my freebie.
Oh,
Wow.
Revealing. Book selling really well. 725,000 copies, making one of the biggest debuts of the year for Becoming.
I'm sending it to all of my Trump friends for Christmas. I thought they would really
bundle it with the Woodward book. Say, hey, look, it's about each side of the aisle. Oh, there's a profile of a Republican and an autobiography of a Democrat. There you go.
And finally,
number one.
One man, William Goldman, reimagined the American Western and made human the genre of heist films.
I'll jump first.
No.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
He gave us a turn of phrase that changed the way Americans view politics.
Just follow the money.
And also delivered swashbuckling romance to a new generation.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
William Goldman, Chicago native, went on to write or adapt 35 films, including Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, and The Princess Bride.
Bye bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye bye!
He won only two Oscars, but changed American movies forever.
So, I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulse. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe.
It's hard to imagine that the same pen wrote Marathon Man, Heat, Chaplin, Absolute Power, and Misery.
Paul, do you know about the early days of the Kimberly Diamond Mines? Do you know what they did to the native workers who stole diamonds? Don't worry, they didn't kill them. That would be like junking your Mercedes just because it had a broken spring. No, if they caught them, they had to make sure they could go on working. But they also had to make sure they could never run away. The operation was called hobbling.
His films yielded more than a dozen Oscar nominations for the actors who delivered his words.
Because I'm free, nothing's worrying me.
William Goldman was 87.